Ray and Liz, this is based originally in Richard Bellingham's 1996 photography collection, Raise a Laugh, which inspired a video installation and now this feature film debut. These are these photographs with this kind of mix of the real and surreal, life viewed at a sort of crooked angle. And there was a piece by Doug Rickard which said, that described of the photographs, a chronicle of everything that hurts, a cartoonish nightmare jaunt through the land of alcohol living, wet, smelly breath that stinks and simmers, chapped lips that burn and crack, and crack, of a space to live that shrinks and crowds further inward. And it's odd that a lot of that actually applies to the film itself. It's an almost oppressively tactile evocation of growing up in the Black Country during the Thatcher years. The film divides between time periods and centres on the director's household, which is a strange mixture of cigarette smoke, neglect, tortured love and barely repressed anger, presided over by the chain-smoking Liz, who almost becomes like a kind of urban Colonel Kurtz figure. Here's a clip.
Richard says you have a pork dinner for me. Is that right, eh?
Yeah. Look at that, mate.
Yes, lovely. Thank you, Elizabeth.
Put it in the oven with a plate over it.
So, where are you going to, eh?
Will you stop saying eh?
Sorry, Elizabeth. Where are you going?
Really gets me back up, that does. I'm going to get me, Ray and Richard some new shoes. So now you know? Knows it.
Yeah, there's a load of drink hidden in this
house. No, shut up, Ray.
yeah.
In this house?
Oh, yeah. Vodka, brandy, you name it. All paid for.
It's hidden and hidden good. I bought it with Ray's redundancy money, and I don't want you touching a drop of it. In fact, if you even think about looking for it, you see this?
And the funny thing about it is there actually is a bird in a cage in that scene.
That was very aggressive birdsong.
Yeah, I know, exactly. And it's because actually when I first heard it, when Simon sent me over the birdsong clip.
Producer
Simon, yeah, as opposed to you sending it over to me. I was aware that, yes, that I do remember that there is actually a bird in that scene. So here's the thing. This is an evocation of, you know, of a memory of childhood and in a very, very sort of raw form that feels fantastic. I said, you know, tactile, that feels experiential. I spoke to you earlier on in the podcast. I was saying that, you know, I'd been to see this thing, this virtual reality installation, Klimt's Magic Garden, which felt like stepping into a Klimt poem. And you said, you know, well, what would be like if films did that? I mean, this really did feel like it put you in the environment of the film. And that can be a very, very uncomfortable place to be. There are these tiny sort of close-up details of the kind of thing that a child's eye would remember. That you can smell the carpet. You can see the kind of the patches of the wallpaper where it's starting to come away. There is this constant cigarette smoke that, I mean, I'm quite paranoid about cigarette smoke anyway. So 10 minutes into the film, I started to get this kind of headachey feeling of the cigarette smoke. There is this repetitive thing about a character waking up and drinking what initially looks like cold tea, but you start to realise is actually bottled homebrew. And he appears to be living on bottled homebrew and nothing else at all. There are some moments which are really heartbreaking. A young kid coming home from school, making a sandwich for himself from this jar of pickle because his parents aren't, you know, in any way looking after him, followed by a moment of companionship with friends around a bonfire that seems to offer some kind of hope, followed by a horrifying moment of the child being essentially abandoned to the world. And the depiction of neglected childhood is both alarming and depressing. Although there is this kind of, as you heard from that clip, there is a sort of sardonic humour. I mean, the film walks this tightrope between things being funny and heartbreaking, between being recognisable and horrifying. And so that sort of humour and harshness is very much intertwined. And I think the best way of describing it is, I've talked before about the tactility of Andrew Cotting's films. And also, you know, Mark Jenkins has recently had this film Bait that's played very well at the Berlinale in Berlin. And he makes films which, again, I think have that similar tactile feeling that you can feel the carpet, you can feel the wall, but you can feel the environment. You can, you know, you can inhale it. And it's quite often a very, very harsh environment. But I think it's evoked with remarkable poetry. I mean, it's not like kind of realism in the way of Ken Loach. It's much more the kind of poetry that would be, as I said, Cotting, or perhaps if you think of, you know, Lynn Ramsey or Andre Arnold, that kind of, that much more poetic evocation of a time and a period. I mean, I really did feel like I was in the middle of the film, and I found that sometimes very oppressive, sometimes very, very heartbreaking, sometimes funny in a sardonic way. But it does suggest to me that that the director will actually go on and with a greater narrative thrust make something quite remarkable in future. It's called Ray and Liz.